Okay, let's review Shabbos Daf Mem Vav. We mentioned at the end of yesterday's Daf that Rabbi Yochanan holds that one cannot move a menorah on Shabbos regardless of its size. The Gemara tries to figure out why we treat a menorah so strictly. First, the Gemara suggests that the menorah is treated strictly. Hol v'adam koveh lo makom. A person designates a place for it and never intends to move it. The Gemara rejects this approach since a kilus chasanim also has a designated place, but it still can be moved. Instead, Abayi suggests that we must be talking about a menorah shel chulios, or at least ke'ein shel chulios, a menorah that's either made up of different sections, or at least looks like it is made up of different sections. The reason Rabbi Yochanan holds that it can't be moved has nothing to do with muktzah. Rather, he's concerned that it will fall apart and you may come to put it back together, which would be a violation of makah b'patish, a melacha d'oraisa of putting the finishing touches on something. Reish Lakish would also agree that a menorah shel chulios, or even a large menorah that looks like it is shel chulios, cannot be moved. He only permits moving a small menorah that only looks like it has different sections. So if it either has different sections, or is large and looks like it has different sections, that would be no good. Only if it's small and only looks like it has different sections, would Reish Lakish say it's okay. The Gemara quotes an ambiguous statement of Rebbe, that Rebbe Hora b'menorah k'Rebbe Shimon b'ner. But the Gemara remains unsure whether this means that Rebbe permitted moving a menorah or not. The Gemara goes on to list other Amoraim who disagree whether the Paschal like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Shimon with regard to how to define Muktzah. One particular Amora, Rabbi Avoh, was an interesting case because he was a Talmud of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who held like Rabbi Shimon, and a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan, who held like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Avoh himself really held like Rabbi Shimon, but when he'd go to Rabbi Yochanan, he'd be strict, Mishum Kvodo de Rabbi Yochanan, for the honor of Rabbi Yochanan. Even though Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of the concept of Muktzah Machmas Mius, Rabbi Yehuda claims that he would hold that something like a naphtha candle that is so completely disgusting that it couldn't possibly be used to hold anything other than fuel to light would become muktzah. Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef think that Rabbi Shimon would even allow a naphtha candle. Even that would not be muktzah. When Rav Avya visited Rava's house, he walked in with dirty boots and put them up on the bed. So Rava tried to embarrass Rav Avya by challenging him in a question that he thought Rav Avya would never be able to answer. He asked him to explain Rabba and Rav Yosef's shita, that Rabbi Shimon would even allow a naphtha candle. Rav Avya explained that whenever something is a kli in its own right, even if it has no significant function on Shabbos, it's too disgusting to put anything inside of it, so long as it has some very minimal use on Shabbos, like being chazya lechasas ba'amana, just good enough to be used to cover a kli, that would not be muktzah. That minimal use takes it out of the category of muktzah. A rock would still be muktzah, because although it can be used to cover kalim, it isn't a kli. You need both, that it's a kli in its own right, and that it has some minimal use on Shabbos. That is the shita of Rabbi Rav Yosef, and that is how Rav Avya successfully explained it against Rava's challenge. Rabbi then goes on to explain that Rabbi Shimon holds that leftover oil in a candle is not muktzah, since when Shabbos begins, Adam Yoshevu Mitzapa Emasai Techa Benero, people wait for the candle to go out when they can use the oil. Rabbi Shimon also holds that a Bechor animal that didn't have a recognized mum before Yantif would be muktzah, because we don't assume Adam Yoshevu Mitzapa Masa Yipol Bo Mum, that people would wait to find a mum on the Bechor, since there are so many unknowns if it will develop a mum at all. If it develops a mum, will it be a mum kavua? Will you even find a chacham to paskin on the mum? So no one assumes that that's going to happen. When nidarim are undone on Shabbos, the item is not muktzah because it's easy to find gimel hedyotos. It's much less of an unknown. Three regular people to annul the vows, not so hard to come by. Whereas by the Bukhar, you would need to find a chacham, which is a major uncertainty. Abayi then raises the question of why Rabbi Shimon doesn't allow moving a lit candle just because Dilma Bahadi Dinakad La Kavsa, it may get extinguished while you're holding it. After all, doesn't Rabbi Shimon hold Davar Sheino Miskaven, unintended melacha results are mutter? So what would be the problem? Carry the candle, and if it happens to extinguish itself, it's a Davar Sheino Miskaven, so it should be mutter. The Gemara offers two answers. Rav Yosef suggests that when the potential Isser is an Isser d'oraisa, like extinguishing a flame on Shabbos, even Rabbi Shimon would make an Isser d'rabbanan to avoid doing a Davar Sheino Miskaven, to avoid having that Isser d'oraisa happen with Davar Sheino Miskaven. Rava rejects that approach based on the fact that Rabbi Shimon is mekil with the davar sheinu miskaven of wearing shatnas. Shatnas is an issur daraisa, and yet Rabbi Shimon doesn't create any new issur drabanan of getting involved in the davar sheinu miskaven. Instead, Rava suggests that the reason Rabbi Shimon is strict with the lit candles is that it is a basis l'davar ha'asur, that the ner itself is a base to the flame, and that will lead us to a discussion in tomorrow's daf about the general concept of basis l'davar ha'asur, mitzvah Hashem.